International.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta from Nairobi, Kenya, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 24th Friday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the world of athletics. The great Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele returns to the scene of one of his many triumphs when he lines up in the Berlin Marathon on Sunday. It was here 2 years ago, before the pandemic struck, that Kenenisa ran within 2 seconds of the world record held by another African great, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. Can he defy the years and injuries to astound us once again? The energetic Andy Edwards is in Berlin and reflects on Bekele's chances and the outlook for the women's race. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Prince. It will be the 47th edition of the Berlin Marathon this Sunday, a race renowned for world records, 11 of them to date, plus fast times in general and some riveting contests. What Kenenisa Bekele achieved 2 years ago was on a par with the best of them. I wasn't the only journalist to wonder if his golden path had come to an end, thinking that injuries had caught up with him and that Berlin would be the time for him to say thank you and goodbye. Instead, he must have given Eliud Kipchoge some shivers back in Kenya as he ran 2:01:41, only 2 seconds outside the world record. In a time of pandemic, lockdown and COVID restrictions, it's a case of detective work to puzzle out who is ready to race. The racing calendar has only recently begun to revive. Form guides are hard to find. Kenenisa himself was quoted on a running website as saying that COVID restrictions had hindered his preparation, though he'd remained in good health. About a month ago, his manager Jos Hermans said in an interview that Kenenisa was suited to a shorter build-up than most marathon runners, said it helped him to retain a focus. He explained that the reason to run the New York Marathon only 42 days after Berlin was because otherwise he would have too long without a genuine objective before next year's spring marathon season. Hermans also said that Bekele was like a classic car, wonderfully equipped, but that the years had left behind some inherent faults in the machinery, such as a problematic ankle. What to make of all this? If he is really fit and ready, I think we could be seeing another high-class performance, though he might not be able to reproduce the fireworks of 2 years ago. On top form, there's no one in the field to challenge him. His fellow Ethiopian, Guye Adola, pressured Eliud Kipchoge almost to the finish here 4 years ago, but has mostly failed to impress since. Perhaps Kenenisa is placing all his hopes on an outstanding performance here in Berlin, and New York at the beginning of November will be his farewell. As for the women's race, all points to Ethiopian success. Hiwot Gebrekidan is the fastest in the world this year, the only woman to have broken 2:20. She will run Berlin for the first time, and her comments before the race suggest that she has sights on a big improvement to her best of 2 hours, 19 minutes and 35 seconds on the city's fast course, with weather conditions likely to be ideal. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Berlin.
Andy also caught up with Kenenisa Bekele on a one-on-one interview.
Kenenisa, how difficult has it been to prepare for Berlin Marathon, given all the problems with pandemic, for someone like you who ran so fast here 2 years ago?
It was difficult, of course. It was difficult to prepare perfect, but I prepared well. So, how
do you compare your form? In 2019, you were just 2 seconds outside the world record. It was a wonderful achievement. Are you at the same level?
More or less, yes, of course. Sometimes, you know, you never know after 2 years away from any competition. This last 1.5 years, COVID problem, so I've been away from the race, you know, a long time.
Have you been free of injury? Preparation has been good?
Of course, preparation was good, and I'm free of injury also.
One last question. We're talking after the press conference, and some journalists were asking about, do you feel your age? And you're 39, that do you feel as strong as you ever did, and are you thinking about retirement? Well, do you plan to be running at the top for years to come?
Of course, I'm thinking like that. I don't feel any bad view, about my age. So I'm feeling energetic and I'm feeling good.
That's the former world record holder in both the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters, Kenenisa Bekele, in an exclusive interview with Andy Edwards from Berlin. Joining us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news is Samson O'Malley. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings, Prince. We begin our comprehensive preview and review of weekend African sports highlights in Yaoundé, Cameroon, where the 2021 FIBA Women Afro Basket Championships is in the semifinals. Cameroon, Mali, Nigeria, and Senegal are all through to the last four. Nigeria's senior women national basketball team, the Tigers, began the race for the last four when they dispatched Cote d'Ivoire on Thursday by 72 to 56 points. In the semi-final pairing, it will be the clash of the Titans when defending champions Nigeria come up against 11-time victors Senegal in a fixture that could be rightly termed as perhaps the most explosive in women's basketball on the continent. The Tigers coach, Otix Hugley, is furious about the officiating so far at the ongoing tournament. He has warned that if officials fail to protect players, Afro Basket Championships will no longer attract players from the NBA or other European leagues.
I just think you guys are going to stop the best players in the world from coming to Afro Basket, because the officiating, it has to be, they have to control the game. You can't tell the other coach to tell his players to stop playing hard. You can try, but they may not listen. But you can have the officials say, look, foul, hold, intentional. You could do that to stop people from just being abusive. They just ran out of our girls and knocked them over. No foul. And they expect us to play through that. Our girls got to go and play their careers. They got to go to their teams after this. They're not going to want to come back here if you're going to allow that to happen. You got something going really good now. You're building African basketball.
Yeah.
And you're going to sabotage it by not monitoring the game like you should. You deserve a good game.
Mm-hmm.
The world hates Africa. They don't want to do it. We're going to have to do it ourselves. They don't care. We have to care.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that. We're playing politics.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing favoritism. Mm-hmm. We can't continue to keep doing that and want a good result. You're not. These girls, they're going to stop coming.
Idzin Nikalu was the top scorer for the Tigers with 100% success from the free throw line in the quarterfinals against the Ivorians. She speaks on their performance so far and the atmosphere in the team off court ahead of the semifinals.
Outside of the basketball, outside of the court, we're our sister. And I think that our relationship kind of embodies that. And we know that when we're fighting off the court, you know, people always say basketball, basketball, basketball. Okay, but when we're not playing, where's the chemistry? Where's the love? Where's the care for each other? And I think that we really focus on that as a team. And with the young girls, I try to encourage them as much as I could because they're coming after me. I'm going to be 30 next year, so I don't have much time left, you know. And my teammates, my younger girls, yeah, I'm still young, but I don't know how many Afro baskets I got left in me. So I feel like it's important to kind of push these girls, the younger girls, and, you know, let them know that, you know, keep fighting and keep pushing because your time is coming. So I feel like if they have that confidence now, that when it does come for the next Afrobasket and we're in a situation like this against Cote d'Ivoire, against Angola, against Mozambique, they're confident enough to say, wow, yeah, I can do this because I've been pushed this whole time.
For their part, Senegal will be featuring in an astonishing 14th consecutive Afrobasket semifinal, having been part of the final four of the continent's bonanza since 1990. The second semifinal will see host the Lionesses, as Cameroon are referred to, square up against Mali. Cameroon will be playing in their sixth semis 6 years after their last appearance on the last four of the women's Afro Basket. In athletics, four-time New York City Marathon champion and women-only marathon world record holder Mary Kitiani of Kenya has announced her retirement at the age of 39. The athlete, who also won the Virgin Money London Marathon 3 times, said a nagging back injury was the primary reason for her retirement. Kitiani still holds the marathon world record for a women-only race, having clocked a stunning 2 hours, 17 minutes, 01 seconds when winning the third of her London Marathon title titles in 2017. Staying with women marathon, world record holder Bridget Kosgei will be looking to win the London Marathon after her Tokyo Olympics assignment saw her settle for silver. She will be up against competitors Jocelyn Jepkosgei and Valerie Jimeli amid a lineup of high-profile Ethiopians on the 3rd of next month. With few exceptions, Bridget Kosgei has ruled over women's marathoning for 3 years. Kosgei won her first major marathon in 2018, breaking 2 minutes 20 seconds for the first time during a 2 hours 18 minutes 35 seconds triumph in Chicago. And now let's take you to boxing, as Nigerian-born British boxer Anthony Joshua says he's aiming for a crowd-pleasing knockout win over Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk when he puts his titles on the line in front of 67,000 fans at the London's Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday. The IBF, WBA and WBO belts will be at stake as Nigerian-born boxer is aiming to finally face WBC champion Tyson Fury to crown an undisputed champion if he comes through his latest defense. Usyk is bidding to become the third boxer ever after Evander Holyfield and David Haye to win world titles at cruiserweight and heavyweight. Anthony Joshua says fans are expecting a knockout fight, but says it's not going to be easy for any one of them.
People want to see knockouts, you know, and that's what we've got to deliver for the fans. Right, in boxing, it ain't the power that's going to make you survive, it's your skills. If you've got skills, you'll survive at any weight. That's why good fighters will be able to move up. So he'll do well, but he's up against a really good fighter. So it'll be good. Well done to him for taking on the challenge as well. It's a good challenge. People talk about my resume, but he's obviously a good fighter, a good warrior as well for taking on this challenge.
Away from boxing news now, newly appointed South Africa rowing head coach Thiago Loureiro says his target is to win more medals for South Africa in future competitions. The 37-year-old Loureiro, who takes over from Roger Barrow as national head coach, was at one time Zimbabwe rowing head coach and has been part of South Africa's national rowing structure for over a decade.
So my vision is to continue exposing rowing to the nation, to grow the sport, and then to get a team of strong, empowered coaches along with us to create a stronger team, and then ultimately continue to be competitive on the world stage, and then ultimately continue making our nation proud by raking in the Olympic medals.
He speaks of his plans ahead of the Paris Olympic Games in 2024.
The target is to perform to the best of our ability. Details are yet to be seen. Like I said, my tenure doesn't only really start on the 1st of October, and then things will transpire. I'm looking for the fastest boats. I'm looking for the fastest athletes to put in those boats and then hopefully compete for a medal, whether it's back in the pair or back in the four, whether we send the Lighty Women's Double again. It's yet to be seen. It all depends actually on the athletes returning, which they're still deciding on that process.
In football news, FIFA President Gianni Infantino has stressed the need to harmonize the international match calendar to help make football truly global during a meeting with Felix Tshisekedi, the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo and current chairperson of the African Union. The two presidents, who met on the sidelines of the 76th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York, followed up on their most recent meeting in Kinshasa in February and reviewed the ongoing collaborations between FIFA and the African Union. Staying with football news, Egyptian Al Ahly club's management has decided to fine all of the team's players and technical staff members after losing the Egyptian Super Cup match to Tali El Geish on Tuesday. Unfancied Tali El Geish caused a huge upset after beating Cairo powerhouse Al Ahly 3-2 in the penalty stage following a 0-0 draw on Tuesday, claiming their first ever Super Cup title. Additionally, Hockley's management announced that they will be taking other actions in the same direction to restore the team's performance without disclosing further details. Al Ahly have a record 11 Super Cup titles under their belt, followed by Zamalek with only 4. In women's football, Ugandan national under-20 women's football team are in Kenya ahead of a World Cup qualification encounter. The first leg of the tie will be played on Saturday before the two sides face off again on the 8th of October in Uganda. The 11th edition of the Women Under-20 World Cup will take place in Costa Rica next year from September to October. Kenya starlet defender Osula Masimiyu says they are ready for the East African Challenge.
We as a team, the Kenya team, We are ready to work. We've trained for a long time. It's a month is going. It's like almost a month. So we've been training. The coaches have been giving us the instructions. We've been following through. So we are mentally, physically, and psychologically prepared. We're ready to face the toughness and the opposition from the opponents. So our mentality is we are ready to win the match.
In other under 20 women's qualifier, Rwanda will play Angola.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We are seeing a trend where the current and former sports athletes, including Philippines boxing legend Manny Pacquiao, Cameroon soccer legend Samuel Eto'o, and former Ivory Coast and Chelsea superstar Didier Drogba seeking positions of influence in their countries. I spoke with Kenya sports presenter John Kianda about the emerging trend of sportsstars seeking positions of power and influence, and this is what he had to say.
Someone like Samuel Eto'o. These are icons. You cannot vie for some of these positions if your history is in doubt, if you're not a legend, if your work is not seen. Someone like George Weah, there's no one who doesn't know George Weah. I'll tell you a story about Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry was in Brazil in 2014, World Cup, and he was walking in the streets with George Weah. So George Weah is Thierry Henry's icon. So guys were busy wanting to take photos with Thierry Henry. And Henry was like, do you know who is walking next to me? This is, he calls him the big G. Like, this is Mr. G. This is George Weah. You should not take pictures with me. Take pictures with him. You know, this is someone who even Arsene Wenger, he owes a lot to Arsene Wenger. Because when in the midst of all the racism and the struggles of African footballers playing their football in Europe, it's Wenger who held his hand and even won the FIFA Player of the Year. The only African who has done that. I mean, his history and his legacy speaks for itself. Manny Pacquiao, when he was a senator, he vied for the position of a senator. His charity work in Philippines, that's those slums in Philippines, is out of this world. You see? Recently, the president for Senegal actually told Sadio Mane, if you retire from football, I want you to lead the Senegal Football Federation. What does Mane do there? He's building schools, he's building hospitals. He's so down to earth. If you look at the way he's interacting with people, I mean, he's just out of this world. So these guys who are vying for these respective positions are doing so because they're legends in their countries and their work for charity and bringing change in their respective countries has been seen. You cannot run for such positions if your legacy is tainted. So according to me, we are likely to see more of this happening. Even in Kenya, a good example is McDonald Mariga. He played for Inter Milan, played for Malaga. He was a star for the national soccer team. We saw he wanted to vie for the position of being an MP in Kibera, one of the largest slums in Kenya and in East Africa. So, I mean, guys, even the artists, you're forgetting them. Most of these artists are trying to vie. There's some of the artists who are MPs and MCAs in Kenya. So fame that is brought by the good work that you do will definitely give you some of these leadership roles if you play your cards well. But as I say, sometimes these fans are not voters. These fans are not voters. We've seen what happened to Didier Drogba. But for Manny Pacquiao and Samuel Eto'o, I have no doubt. If all goes well, they're likely to take those positions they are vying for.
That was Kenya sports presenter John Kianda speaking with me from Nairobi regarding the current trend of athletes seeking influence and power in their countries.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Week-long youth basketball festival has ended in Port Harcourt, southern Nigeria. The event was organized for younger players to develop future basketball players for the national men and women's teams. Fubara Onyenebo is the head coach of Nigeria's national under-16 boys basketball team and chief instructor at the basketball festival, and he spoke to reporter Mike Mbonya about the youth basketball festival.
Well, the purpose of reorganizing this event is for us to peep into the future of Nigerian basketball. You are aware that we have so many basketball academies and programs scattered around Nigeria, but we don't have a championship that these kids can attend.
How many teams or age categories took part in the week-long event?
We have 36 teams in the four age category that was participated in. We have the under 13 mixed boys, we have the under 16 boys, under 18 girls, and under 19 men. We have 8 teams in the under 13 mix, we have 10 teams in under 16 boys, 10 teams in the 18 under 18 girls, and 10 teams under 19 now. I won't tell you lie, just as the name implies, the future of Nigerian basketball. We had so many athletes that were discovered, we have so many outstanding players. At the end of the event, we all agree that Nigerian basketball has a very, very bright future.
As a national under 16 coach, what will be the fate of talents discovered at this event?
Well, there are a lot of talent that were discovered in a week-long event, and the competition really live up to standard. We have teams that came from different parts of the country. And I tell you, the athletes that participated, whatever discovered in this championship, will be handed over to the National Federation, and in subsequent age group competition, I bet you they will be invited for this to a national camp.
This opportunity to appeal to parents and guardians to allow their world's children to participate in sporting activity, not just basketball. There are so many benefits to incur if you do so. Outside keeping you busy and channeling your energy towards positive and productive venture, there is the possibility of getting an athletic scholarship to study abroad. There's also the possibility of getting control from the court. Like for me, I have so many kids that I train, and most times what their parents cannot make them do, I, as a coach, I have to make them do that because they love playing the game. You never can know what this will lead to. They're going to make friends with a lot of kids that going to influence their life in future. So I want to appeal to parents to allow their children to participate in a sporting activity. Thank you.
That was Fubara Onyenebo, head coach Nigeria's national under-16 boys basketball team, and he spoke with reporter Mike Mbonya on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Aston Villa CEO Christian Paslow has condemned FIFA's plans for a biennial World Cup, according to the Associated Press. The 58-year-old criticized the plans on the sidelines of an English Premier League shareholders' meeting in London, where club bosses discussed the issue.
What do you think of a biennial World Cup?
Terrible idea.
And why do you think that?
Because I'm a traditionalist and I think scarcity makes things very valuable, and every 4 years feels about right to me. Much more interested in the fact that next season, when we play in an equally crazy idea, which is a Winter World Cup, we won't see any Premier League football in. At the peak of our season between November and December, which is also, you know, something that people are going to have to get used to. But these decisions that get taken a long time ago, they bite quite soon. Next season, we'll all see that. I always have concerns about player welfare, but I have more concerns for our fans missing Premier League football for 5 weeks in the winter, which is our great national tradition and our great national heritage.
The AP also reports that while FIFA says the plan is still in a consultation phase, other football governing bodies, including UEFA, have expressed concerns about the plan. They have highlighted issues such as the dilution of the tournament's quote-unquote mystic, intensified player workload, and the quote-unquote massive restructuring of the club match calendar. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is Prince Nessa in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham scored the sole goal as Roma cruised to a 1-0 victory over Udinese to move up to fourth in the Serie A standings. The 23-year-old recently joined Roma from Chelsea and has now scored 3 goals in 6 games for the Yellow and Reds, who trail Napoli by 3 points. San Siro-based outfits Inter and AC Milan are still unbeaten and sit a point above Roma, who are scheduled to square it off against Lazio on September 26th. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Former NBA player Tony Kukoc and ex-Italian footballer Alessandro Del Piero teamed up to form a European celebrity golf team that defeated an all-US celebrity team at the Whistling Straits course on Thursday. The golf tournament was a warm-up event for the 43rd Ryder Cup, which begins today at the Whistling Straits course in the U.S. state of Wisconsin. It was the third consecutive appearance at the event for the Italian soccer legend and World Cup champion Del Piero, and he had this to say on being chosen to play for the European celebrity team.
I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be Italian, to be European, and to be also here sharing with the U.S. people, with everybody. This is a beautiful experience because competition is great. I love competition. I mean, I was born for in order to compete, but you know, in this situation is good to hang out and then fun, first of all, and then, of course, defend your colors.
The 43rd Ryder Cup event at Whistling Straits on the shore of Lake Michigan will be a 3-day contest. The defending champions Europe need 14 points to retain the trophy, while the U.S. needs to amass 14.5 points to regain the title. While the European team has won 9 of the past 12 Ryder Cups, the Europeans have not won on American soil since 2012. This is Prince Nessa in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. UFC featherweight champion Australian Alexander Volkanovski blasted his American opponent Brian Ortega as a quote-unquote drug cheat ahead of their UFC 266 clash on Saturday in Las Vegas. The 30-year-old Ortega failed drug tests in 2014.
What upsets me the most is I'm professional. I put the hard yards in my whole life, especially in this career. That's how I got this belt. And, you know, he half-assed it, turns up training late. You know, I mean, you name it. I just see weakness.
UFC President Dana White had to separate the two fighters during the press conference teardowns, a sign of what to expect in their upcoming clash. Rivalry between the American and Aussie featherweight champion has intensified over recent months, with both fighters going head-to-head on the latest Ultimate Fighter series. Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku says footballers think there's a need for a more robust strategy when dealing with racism, other than just taking a knee. The 28-year-old strikers urged social media companies to convene a meeting with players to address the issue of online abuse. The Chelsea striker said, and I quote, "We are taking the knee, everybody is clapping, but sometimes after the game you see another insult. We should just sit around the table and have a big meeting about it, how we can attack it straight away, not only from the men's game, but also from the women's game." End of quote. Players around the world have taken to kneeling before kickoffs to ignite attention on the issue of racism ever since the death of African-American George Floyd in police custody in the U.S. city of Minneapolis. Some players, including Chelsea defender Marcus Alonso and Ivorian forward Wilfred Zaha, also say they will no longer take a knee before matches since the gesture was fast losing its impact. And that wraps up the September 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbili Abaru. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta here in Nairobi, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. That's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Africa.